and correct the whole ACP. You just have to tweak little bits and pieces here and there, and then send back to us. But the other one who came yesterday, we had to say change everything here because it's not working, so that these are the things that I say in advance, that when members do say that, you need to quickly make a reflection as to how we can be dealt with, we can be able to handle that. Chairperson, I'm going to be giving to you so that you can introduce your team, and then the presenter can be able to present, but we are very excited that the body is here. Thank you very much, Advocate Majavu.
On the
board. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, members of the Honorable Committee. Without any further ado, mindful of the time limitations, allow me to introduce my delegation. Firstly, I am Zola Majavu, the Chairman of the RTMC Board. To my immediate left is Advocate Makhosini Msibi, who is the CEO. To my immediate right, Refilwe Mongale, and to her immediate right, Mem Kiva. To her immediate right, the board member, Ms. Mangele, who's undertaking a name change, formerly Matabate. To her immediate right, Skidigazi Pete, who is fresh from the box, newly appointed company secretary. Previously, she was acting, and then the vacancy arose, and it's her first encounter today. Thank you very much, Chair. And if I may just make one or two small opening remarks, and then we can just save time. Firstly, Chair, our intention was to bring a full-strength committee. However, mindful of the logistics, we were informed that the venue would not be big enough to accommodate everybody. As of that, TMC have always wanted to show utmost respect to the committee, and the more people come and engage with the committee, the more it strengthens our ability to interact. So for us, it is not an us and them approach. It is something that we welcome. But going forward, we will try and rotate so that we expose all members of the board to the engagement with these committees. And we believe that that is the right way to go. The same goes for our executive management. We only took a few who would talk oppositely to the presentation before you. And I must say right from the outset that we have absolutely no qualms. Not that we have a choice, but we'll welcome criticism and any possible suggestions, because it can only be to our own interest that we make sure that those who perform oversight are also satisfied and they will support us going forward. So as and when members feel they want to make those robust suggestions on how we should tweak or even overhaul complete, we will have no difficulty with that. It is in the nature of participatory democracy. In the order of business, Chair, I will ask the CEO to lead us with the presentation, which I believe was pre-circulated. And as and when members pose questions, we will each take notes to enable us to respond adequately. And the response will be shared amongst all of us, depending on the type and whether it's a governance issue, in which case I will take the lead. But otherwise, operationally and in terms of all other processes, we will all share the responsibility. And for the first time, Chair, and I'm begging your indulgence going forward, we've also brought Secretariat with us because they are the engine room. In the past, comments and requests have been made by the committee, and the way we've been dealing with it was a bit lax because we'd wait until the next engagement to then show the committee what it is that we are tasked to do. And we thought, with your concurrence, as and when there may be other information that may be requested in between the time periods, Secretariat is here to record that and make sure that that is on forwarded to you so that you don't wait until we meet the next time around. And it is for that purpose that we have taken the liberty of bringing our company secretary as well, to also make sure that from a governance side, we are not found wanting. With that out of the way, Chair, allow me then to hand over to our CEO, that MC.
Sorry, Chair, point of before.
There is no point of orders here. This is not a branch meeting.
I can't say point of order on what. Chair, maybe I might not be informed in terms of the issue of the logistics, but I think it can't be correct that the full complement of the board is unable to come because of the logistical arrangement and the full management team, that there is that constraints. And I think maybe going forward, if that can be addressed, because we always appreciate when there is a full complement of the board, it's encouraging, and it's something that has been commending to other boards. So I might not be familiar of what was the logistical constraints, but I think that needs to be looked
at. No, I think point taken. We don't even need to engage into that. We just a comment to say that's the observation that we have made as a committee. But fine, let us proceed, advocate.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable members of the committee. The leadership from the department in the ministry, as well as the chairperson of the board and the colleagues. I'm not going to deal with a number of issues, but it's important that we're going to be just short in terms of the APP that we're presenting before the committee. Normally, the strategy and the vision and the mission, I will not deal with. We have been dealing with it over the years. We haven't amended the vision as well as the mission there too. But it might be important for the committee chair to just address a few issues that arises from the constitutional imperative that makes us to be at the situation that we find ourselves, simply because the RTMC is totally different in terms of governance as well as the mandate. The powers we execute are the powers vested within the national department, the provincial, in terms of Schedule 4 and Schedule 5 of the Constitution, and Section 157, in the sense that those powers are concurrent powers between the national province as well as the municipality. So it becomes more important to deal with those issues, to have an appreciation of whatever the decisions that are taken, that they had to go through those processes. Two issues that we're going to be dealing with, which are find expression in terms of the RTMC Act, particularly. We are indicted or directed to ensure that we then begin to ensure that the institution is self-sufficient, self-funding, and we therefore introduce commercialization within the entity in the corporation, so that we don't rely solely on the fiscals or on the government. And I think from the next year going forward, that is a key issue that the institution must be dealing with. And indeed, we have had the directive from the highest office to ensure that the entities are self-sustainable and self-reliant. I've just talked to this in terms of those powers, where we find these competencies in slide 8 in terms of the constitutional imperatives that we do have. This is the governance structures that we're dealing with. An ordinary Schedule 3 institution will then have the board as well as the shareholder. Ours is totally different. Our shareholder comprises of the national minister and 9 MEC responsible for traffic and transport, and 2 members of SALGA. So that structure is the alpha and omega in terms of the shareholder in this instance. Then you have the board that accounts and gets into an agreement with the shareholder in terms of the governance structure that is in there. The Act provides that we, from the creation of the statutory creation, we are assigned 10 functional areas that we're supposed to be dealing with. Subsequently, one functional area was taken, which was the administrative adjudication of road traffic offenses, which vest with ARTIA, which is another institution. We're then left with 9 functional areas. Within the 9 functional areas, 3 functional areas are still residing with the department, in particular There is not that I have a red tie, I've opted to have the red on the board. It's the fact that the red denotes those powers that are still resident with the department, which is the vehicle and roadworthiness testing, testing and driver's license and licensing of driver's license, vehicle registration and licensing. The minister, when he announced the statistics, he had a red tie. So you learn from the best. So I don't thought that it's proper that you also should put the red ties to compliment our minister. I can see the members also of the committee have the red tie too, and the red jersey. So we all in the same. Having said that, the shareholders in the shareholder committee meeting, which was held in February 2017 out in Kimberley, confirmed in the meeting held in May in Mpumalanga, took a decision that the shareholder, the decision relating to the DLCA, the driver licensing in the department, must then be transferred to the RTMC as one of the functional areas. Once that gets implemented, it will then mean that there will be 8 functional areas that that the RTMC will be responsible for, making it, giving us no reason why this entity cannot be self-sustainable. One of the key programs governed by, we are a creature of statute. To that extent, we'll be governed by statutes as well as the necessary imperatives, in particular, the National Development Plan, the Decade of Action for Road Safety 2011 to 2020, because we are the signatory to the international community in relation to the Decade of Action, and above all, the medium-term strategic framework. We keep ourselves within the regulated environment so that we don't deviate and do anything outside the regulated environment. What are our strategic goals and objectives as an entity? We have 4 of those key pillars. One of the pillars deals with the issue of to promote and create a safer road environment. We're more concerned with the road environment because in terms of the legislative environment, we need to ensure that everybody is safe when traveling on the road. That also finds expression within the National Development Plan. And within those frameworks, we then ensure that we deal with education and creation awareness of the traffic matters. This is very key because it deals with the mindset and changing the conduct of our people, which is a pillar that we are going to be focusing on. But in this pillar too, without going to the details, it will then deal with the fact where we need to plant a seed today for the future. So therefore, it will then going to imply on us that we need to partner with the Department of Education to nurture our kids from the tender age in terms of their behavior in relation to the road environment. But we need also to ensure the compliance. This compliance comes on the perspective of the law enforcement, because there's no other way that we can deal with this. And in the environment of the law enforcement, we partner very closely with the Department of Justice because the legislative ambit begins to rest within that environment. But also, what is also important is sustaining the relationship with the interested groups that are also having their interest in relation to the road safety on our roads. But also, key is to the prevention of fraud and corruption, which is more prevalent. And Chairperson, we wanted to undertake a study because they say charity begins at home. Perhaps we wanted to go through the members of the committee as well as the board and everybody and see how they acquired their licenses. If they then acquired them through the fraudulent means, we must also deal with them at home before we even go to the outside element. The second pillar is the integration and coordination of the road traffic environment. We realize that not only us can make this happen. We need a coordinated and integrated methodology to ensure that we deal with this matter. Then we'll then also deal with also the key issues that underpins this will be the traffic information management system. And Chair, thank you for having supported us. Finally, the E-Natives is back home, but we still have our resident address in the Constitutional Court
and in the High Court, because we are forever in the Constitutional Court. We just arise from the High Court and the Constitutional Court in February, again in March. We are due to get there again in May. So we have now decided to give them the Constitutional Court as our residential address, because we are forever there as litigants in this matter, arising from the E-Natives. What is key, it's also one of the issues that should underpin our program, leveraging funding for the programs that we have, because government alone cannot deal with this mammoth task. This mammoth task that relates to the road safety, it is underplayed. We have never gone into the details there too. This matter, the research that we have done based on the 2017 figures has now even given us that the cost of the road fatalities and injuries stands at 162 billion. You recall last year we're at 142 billion based on the 2015. Now on the 2017 analysis gives us 162 billion. Just as an issue that we did not answer this question yesterday when the media was asking, the fatalities that we arise from during the Easter, that 9 days has cost the country 7 billion. Just in the 7 days in terms of the fatalities that we have got into. This begins to say we need now to be more robust and serious in dealing with this matter. We'll share the study with the committee. I think the strategic officer is here. It might be interesting to read at this documentation and see how it is more dealing with this matter. And the last one is inward looking. We need to take care of our employees. We need to create an environment that is very dynamic and also sustainable in terms of the employees in our government. This is a slide that we give the self-criticism and give account why it could not happen. We started at a very positive note in 2014 when the institution had no governance structures, there was no body. We performed at 83%. 2015-16, we performed at 92%. 2016-17, we took some steps backward and performed at 79%. We'll give reasons why this had happened in that scenario. We give account as to what has happened. I'm not going to touch on the 2015 and 2016, but let me sit on the 2017 in terms of the achievements. But we link the achievements. I thought the Honorable Member Mlaudzi would have sent a letter to us to say, you have made me, because as a traffic law enforcement, we've graduated from NQF level 4 to NQF level 6. It's a great achievement where this is now beginning to be a professional career pattern and trajectory. So maybe Mr. Mlaudzi still owes this committee and the RTMC that you have made my profession a better profession to be. But on 2017, we have enhanced the E-Natives. Chair, these E-Natives, I think it can take us a day to explain the insignificance of the E-Natives. But just on the top surface, the E-Natives is very critical for SAPS, for RTMC, as well as for the security cluster. We have seen a development in all the estates where we all live, that way they scan our vehicles, discs, and the licenses. The information that is a security threat reside with the third parties, and we're beginning to clean and close, and there's a huge jump that is going to also be coming to the committee where people are now complaining that we have now tempered with their businesses. You can't have an information of that nature resident with the third parties sold to other people, even to the international community. We have also done an assessment in terms of the VTC, it's a vehicle testing centers. It's a very interesting analogy, Chairperson, that we have seen. These VTCs deal with the issuing of roadworthy certificates. We have picked on Sidibeng, which is one district in Gauteng, though we're doing this in the four provinces. What we have seen in the Sidibeng, just before we undertook the process, there were 22 VTCs. On the eve of us dealing with the audit, five of them it automatically closed. But the rest, then, that were showing us, you'll find that the VTC ordinarily per day is supposed to have tested about 14 vehicles. You find the VTC having tested more than 80 of the vehicles with no capacity. So that tells you that how many vehicles are on our roads that are not roadworthy, that have not been tested by our officials. And it's a lucrative business, because taking a vehicle into the road for roadworthiness, if it's not there, if it's a Code 14 vehicle, you're paying not less than 2.5. So the officers at that level, if you have about 10 of the 2.5s, it's 25,000 a day. And yet those people are unfit. Some of the vehicles that you have discovered, you find the vehicle is in Limpopo, but the roadworthy certificate is issued in CDBing at a particular time. When you go through the countries and where the vehicle is, it's a deep-seated matter that needs really expertise in this matter. We deal with also the driving schools. We are now developing a curriculum for the driving schools, because we have realized that anybody can open a driving school as a spaza shop. So we are now putting a curriculum that you will then have to have acquired a certain accreditation before you open a driving school. It's not a normal environment where we just open and run this. You need to satisfy certain issues. And the issue of the crash investigations that we're dealing with. What is the staff establishment? We have then grown from 371 to 774. We have multiplied, but why did we multiply? We have acquired certain services and certain functions, in particular the CBRTA, Road Traffic Inspectorate, that originally resided with CBRTA, was then moved to the RTMC. We acquired 134 employees that joined us. We also, Gauteng has given us the Buggenhout College, which is the training college for traffic officers, for the implementation of the NQF level 6, and you acquired not less than 100 people. So those people collectively then increase the staff component of the corporation. We have 5 programs. But if you look in terms of the 5 programs, the 52% of the programs that we have resides with operations. And ordinarily, the operations will then deal with a matter that gets to the issues that deals with road safety. So this begins to tell us that the key function of the corporation resides with the road safety phenomena. Program 1 is operations, also will include the issue of the inmates. We have indicated what we then need to do, particularly screening. And what are the components that deals with the issue of training? It's learning, workshop, development skills, coaching, knowledge, and teaching, in order to ensure that we deal with the road safety education. And we're very humble that one of the patrols in relation to the road safety, it's Zoleka Mandela, who is one of the people that is a patron that relates to this matter. We're trying to support them because she had an experience when she lost a son in relation to the accidents, and we are calling all up upon all, everybody has been involved in this journey to partner with us, because we have a story to tell. And I will give this due respect. I know the committee has gone through these matters. I will not delve into them as per program by program. Having dealt with these operations, then we'll then go to Program 2, which is the law enforcement. In this instance, here we still have a journey to deal with. It's not covered in here, but we're beginning to harmonize and enforce our operations with the provinces and the municipalities, because that's where the issues are happening. If we're not singing from one song, from one hymn book, we're going to be having a problem. And for those who are not going to church, it might not be a hymn book, but if we then understand where we all move from, it much the better that we then understand. This is one of the key documents that we must deal with, the National Road Traffic Law Enforcement Code. This begins to deal with the standard operations processes, so that throughout the country we can evaluate and control and determine the traffic law enforcement in one category and one principle. We are not about to unleash any firearms in here. All what we then say, we say we should be combatant ready to execute our functions. And these guys merely take their work very serious. And that's why Minister yesterday was saying, please be nice to the traffic officers when they stop you. Please do give them a smile. Just make their day a better issue. That's what we are then beginning to say. And this is the traffic intelligence that we're dealing with. This is where we then mine this data in relation. Let me check, just pause on this matter of the traffic intelligence. We are currently working with the Namibia, and Minister will soon be signing with Lesotho. How does the reliance that they have on the infrastructure of South Africa in relation to the traffic law enforcement, traffic intelligence information. Then this is strategic services, led by Ausrifile Mungano. This is what she does then, and to make us tick and relevant to the times of this country. What are those strategic issues that we deal? One thing that we're lacking with as a country that we're beginning to keep up with, it's the research capacity. Now, this is the matter that we're beginning to deal with, to partner with the institutions of higher learning as well as universities to ensure that we do more research, and that's what we want to focus on in relation to these matters. We have a program that even begins to grade the, maybe it's important to indicate it at the lower level, that much as we foster and aspire to have five stars hotel, roads too are graded and we give them stars. Whether this route is a one star or second star, two star or three star or four star route, through a program that we call SARAP. We then go and do an investigation and show where there this, what are the stars to this route and whether this route meets the standards, so that SANRAL should then begin to deal with those matters that we deal with them. And the support services, I already said, we then deal with the issues of the, what is our target is to ensure that our revenue is increased by 30% from the services that we are selling. And also, we also then ensure that we then increase our expenditure on the SMMEs to the level of 10% of our revenue as well as of our budget. Human resource is the implementation of the performance management system. This is where, as a country, we need to focus, particularly to deal with the performance management and assessing the capability of our workforce, how initiative they can be. The two key projects that we'll be dealing with is the quality of basic education. This relates to the road safety, how we then begin to quantify that. Also, we're taking from the president, I'm not too sure whether the president had seen our presentation or proposed APP before you get on the healthy journey of the lifelong healthy lifestyle for all South Africans. We've already long lived that process. The one is to deal ensuring that our citizens are safe and feel safe on our road, as well as to deal with the decent employment through inclusive economic growth. We need to be efficient, competitive. Having taken the E-natives, we need to find ourselves being competitive with the private sector. That's how we begin to benchmark ourselves. Hence, we then deal with the issue institutions like FNB, APSA, and all these banking institutions. We're beginning to compare ourselves on the efficiency level in terms of service delivery to those levels. But we also want to be an accountable government structure. What is the budget? I know the baseline was 800 million, but this coming financial year, we're sitting at 1.2 billion. Why? Simply because I know most of the car owners were very angry when we had a 30 rand increase in relation to the licensing fee in relation to transactional fees, but it's just a minimal fee, which for the past 10 years, it has never been increased. And naturally, the state is very caring. We should have been increased this with 70 rand, but the caring state will then say, but our citizens might not begin to acquire these services. Let's make do with what we have. Chair, we remain inspired. And if we have to do this again, like the E-natives, we take resonance and inspiration from the mother of the nation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. May her soul rest in perfect peace. Honorable members, there we are. Presentation short to the point. Any taker? Honorable Humsinga, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Mpanza.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I notice on page 33 or slide number 33 that you are doing a particular type of research, and that is research in the effect of alcohol consumption on road crash published. What do you seek to achieve with this? I understand the importance, but then once we have this particular research, and I'm asking this because this is a very specific type of research, and I do acknowledge the high intensity and frequency of this in road crashes. But I'm interested to know, once we have a particular result which can be anticipated in a large way, how will we then incorporate this into a particular knowledge in avoiding these occurrences? Just below that, if you could expand on the research on reclassification on serious road offences, if you can just expand a bit on that. And then on slide 36, I acknowledge and I see the target setting to increase traffic offences, obviously for revenue planning and so on, this is important, but I also know that there's a lot of criticism around understanding the function and role of law enforcement and that it shouldn't be revenue focused. So just, you know, how do we absorb the necessity on the one side to run a financially sound and efficient entity, but then on the other hand balance this out in not having the perception that it's only about increasing revenue instead of the essence of law enforcement. I also do acknowledge the disappointing past Easter weekend fatalities, which sadly increased with something like 14%. And I had a particular interest in the makeup of these different offences, recognizing that speeding was a particular dominant feature in those statistics. I don't see any targets particularly around that, because at the end of the day, I would imagine that understanding behavior can contribute to a lot in a large way to the way that we then counter these occurrences. Or is speeding just in terms of this particular past Easter weekend a spike and not a general high profile offense? Because surely we must then acknowledge these high occurrences and incorporate that in our priorities to which we focus research to gain a better knowledge around this. I also don't see any target setting around educational programs towards schools, because I was really saddened by the high number and increase of child pedestrian deaths over the past weekends, which we just can't have. And I would then also like to see, you know, what are we doing in terms of school programs, and shouldn't we push a lot harder for having this part of basic educational training at schools? I can recall in my school days that we had to walk on a sketched-out traffic design, and we had to understand what a stop street is, and play stop, and play go, and play cross a street. But it was drilled into our head. I actually still recall the voice in my mind of my teachers saying, look left first, right, and left again. Isn't it time that we again focus specific on our schools and education programs at schools? One of the, I sort of paid particular interest to what people say in reaction to the release of Minister Zimande's report on the Easter weekend fatalities. And one of the sort of major featuring remarks was that what we are currently doing in terms of countering the deaths, road deaths around speeding and unlicensed vehicles and people not driving with seat belts and worn tires and all of that. I mean, it's most disturbing that 3,208 unlicensed vehicles were on the road. So people say what we are doing is not working. So that to me alludes to a notion of that we are stuck in a way. And I'm hoping that through the targets and strategies that we would get out of this perception of that we are stuck. Worst of all, that people have the impression that, that what we are doing is not working. So in terms of the training and support towards our officers, I do acknowledge that there's a huge effort in upskilling the standard. Although, in what I can see from my analysis, is that it's focused on new staff, whereas there should be also efforts towards upskilling the current staff. So what are we doing around upskilling the levels of our current staff? I also just made two notes here, is that there was a general, this is now also a reflection just on the past Easter weekend, that how do we get people into the habit of complying? And I don't have an answer to that myself, but you know, in terms of the targets and the strategy, surely that is the document, that is the element that should speak to that directly. So maybe in your answers, when you reflect on the questions that I've asked around research, and once we have the results, how are we going to see a different direction in terms of the fact that people have a habit of not complying, and people are just behaving irresponsibly opposed to how we all should behave on the roads. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sibande.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to thank you once more about your presentation, and then also about the representation, in particular of the issue of gender, because we are so sensitive about the gender. Time and again, we thank you for that. Because most of the people are bringing for us COPE or Congress of Boys Only instead of bringing us women to that. And also to appreciate that even they belong to the senior positions, because some of the people did. They bring secretaries who are also T-girls. I'll pass that. Chairperson, after long battle...
We don't have T-girls, eh?
I'm sorry to use that language.
No, can't accept that. Withdraw.
Yes. That's what we wanted to correct, because some people, they don't transform.
No.
Thank you, Chairperson. After long battles between our TMC and the private firms, Tasima over in Etis, RTMC took over the system in April 2017. Therefore, the corporate had set itself 29 annual performance targets. Then 23 or 73.3 were achieved. 6 or 20.7 were not achieved. Therefore, here's my question. If the RTMC can share with us what are the challenges facing the entity not to achieve the whole 29 targets, because they are now empowered in controlling the system? And then again, how many cases which are still pending, which include cases that are being investigated by the public protector? If there are financial implications, how much have you spent? Then again, since you have identified challenges of corrupt centers, how many have you brought to books thus far? Slide number 32. You spoke about the traffic intelligence. May you please take us on board? In which province? Because sometimes we can see nice things book-wide, practical, there's nothing on the ground. Do you have them? How many are they? And then slide number 42. Book and Road Prof Traffic College. If you can maybe assist us, how many students have you accommodated and from which province? Because what I'm scared of, you are in a national perspective, but most of the time some of the people are focusing in the metros only, forgetting people from the rural areas. Slide number 38, you spoke about programs. In slide number 38, you spoke about educational programs, which is youth and community. I want you to be specific about the issue of youth, women, and people with disabilities, because it doesn't appear whether do you take them on board, people with disabilities. And then, Chairperson, you see, I'm very much impressed on what they have presented to us, but there is a quite difference between a theory and practical. The issue of the people and the inspectors and your recruitment in terms of the employment of traffic officers, it must reflect geographically. I'll put an example. If you check the statistics of the most affected province, are the provinces like, I'll put an example, provinces most affected with a lot of many fatal challenges. It's KZN, followed by Mpumalanga, followed by Limpopo, because of they are very close to the borders. But in terms of employment of those traffic of people, I don't know whether are they equal to the task? Because people are supposed to be equal to the task which you are referring to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sibanda, Honorable Mpanza.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation by the Chairperson, Advocate Machavu, and the CEO, Advocate Msibi. Chair, I will deal with the fundamentals and not actually focus on the specific KPIs and KPAs in terms of this 2018-19 APP. One of the questions that I want to ask along those lines, Chair, is these KPAs and KPIs developed in terms of the SMART principles? And is it also in line with the ministers and the department KPIs and KPAs? Because there must be synergy. They must be talking to one another. Because what we also discover is that entities also develop their own KPIs and KPIs, and there is no synergy with the departments and the ministers' KPIs and KPAs. Also, these KPIs and KPAs also developed in terms of the other shareholders, namely the MECs, because again, you are a very unique entity. You've got so many shareholders, and there must be this working relationship, and each everything that you are doing should be speaking to each other. And Chair, I also want to check, do you only interact with municipalities through SALCA, or do you have other forums where you interact directly, particularly the metros, because there are a lot of challenges. I'm not saying local municipalities, also in rural areas. They are not important, but you discover that there are a lot of, you know, safety issues also in the urban areas, and particularly to your major municipalities like your metros. The other issue that I want to check through your chair is the involvement of the community. Very much important, because how is the community involved in your programs? Are there forums or structures that are created? For an example, in KZN long time ago, when I was in another life, I was participating in a very good arrangement that was there. They had what they called the road safety committee forums, and they've worked very well, and I think there was an attempt to expand that to national. I don't know whether it's still happening or not, or it maybe died its natural course, but I think I will be very much interested to know, because I think when you talk about road safety, communities, they form the integral part of that, because, you know, your pedestrians who become victims of road fatalities, they are community members. So there must be an element or a structure that are created. Then in terms of the resources, do you allocate enough resources for you to be able to achieve your targets? Because if there are no resources, it might be as well, you know, it's like an unfunded mandate where you set something that will do, but you don't have the resources. So your budget, is it actually talking to even if you've got limited resources, but is it each KPA allocated enough, you know, financial resources in order to achieve that? Then the other important component is your human resources, because you can have money, but then if people are not, the staff is not committed, there are problems with staff, the instability and all those things, do you have, you know, staff complement, which is a machinery that you think you can achieve the KPAs that you have set yourself up? And then the one before the last one, how far are you with the process of integrating traffic officers? Because I know there is that one that is underway, but it's becoming an endless exercise. And what are the challenges? Because I think the sooner you have uniformity in terms of the traffic officers throughout the country, then I think the better, because each they are operating, they are doing their own thing, and you know, there's no coordination. There's also a lot of duplication, and can actually save also resources as well of government. Then the last one, Chair, is from the 2014-15 to 2016-17, you have not achieved 100% in terms of your performance, your KPAs. I'm sure there are reasons also for not. But now I just see a disjuncture, and then you've achieved a clean audit. I know that the audit might not be related to KPAs, but to me it just puzzles me, I would want to ask the entity to improve, and I hope now you've got enough resources, you've got enough human resources and budget, and you can improve. So for me, Chair, those were the most important issues, but I really welcome it's very encouraging, and I think there is hope that we will then achieve the mandate of providing road safety responsible as it's a core mandate as an entity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mpanze. Thank you very much, advocates. Let me also say that your presentation gives one peace of mind, in that it looks like we should be able to find what is wrong, particularly with the fatalities that are here in the country. And I think probably my colleague covered me when we were talking to the research issues on alcohol. Also wanted to find out as to what actually, when you do that, what will be the anticipated outcomes? How do you expect to deal with it going forward? But I also wanted to say that looking at your APP and the presentation, there are some anomalies which actually are not really gelling, because in the APP, for example, you'll be saying that the targets will be like 35, and then you put them as per quarter, and then, I mean, in the presentation and in the APP, you indicate other targets and even quarterly when you deal with them, and I think that also just needs to be corrected. But would want to check with you if the driver's license card account belongs to you, as you have indicated. Is it part of the things that we are seeing are fraudulent licenses? Definitely you need to look into how best we can be able to deal with that, because these are some of the challenges that we see, and we anticipate that we will be able to deal with that. But at the same time, when you go to the testing centers, the time that you spend there leaves much to be desired, and if you are to get your card, it also takes some time, and I anticipate that these are some of the things that you will be able to deal with. If the fatalities cost us so many billions of rands, and actually probably you're talking like, you said the previous 9 days or so, 7 billion, and you haven't actually even dealt with the post, that in at the end of a financial year, probably the Department of Health, Department of Social Development, and all these other departments, is there know how we can be able to unleash a program which actually will be able to deal with these things? Because I take it that part of the things that we see, particularly with the fatalities in the country, it's about our attitudes to utilization of roads, because you have some countries which doesn't have as good road infrastructure as we have, but their fatalities are less. I'm saying we have to unleash a program which actually can be able to deal with some of these attitudes that we are having, because you can see arrogance on the road and all the other related things, the speeding. Every time when I come to work, you watch people crossing N2 on food, and you expect that it's possible that they will not get accidents if you cross the N2 on food, from whether it's north to south or whatever. People disrespecting that you can't be on food on a freeway, and those little things. And also in at township level or at village level, we have suddenly became this nation which does not respect the rules of the road, because somebody will be traveling in the middle of the road, and even when you hoot, he expects the car to wave, go aside and still remain in the middle of the road. And I think this, the reason why I'm saying we need to really unleash a program, it's a program that educational it must be, but it must be a program that can assist us to change our attributes towards road safety and rules of the road. And I just did not really want to ask big questions, but I believe also with your collaboration, working with the municipalities and the provinces, you need to engage all in sundry, so that, you know, if it means politicians going to church to go and preach about road safety, so be it. If it means we going to the stockpiles and the burial societies, because that's when people chill. That's where people chill. After that chilling, they have taken, they have drunk not necessarily water, but the holy waters, and then they go onto the road. These are the things that we need to really do, so that people must be able to respect that drink water and drive, but drinking the other water and driving is very dangerous, not to yourself only, but to the other road users. And once more, thank you very much, Advocate Majab and Advocate Msibi, for the presentation. We hope that we definitely will be able to see change as we're moving forward in this regard. Thanks, Advocate Majab.
Thank you, Chair. I think two things. One, to the extent that observations have been made, those observations are welcome without qualification. We'll endeavor to spend the balance of the time to respond to clarity-seeking questions, especially on a lot of operational questions, because there's an overlap. There is a lot that members have observed about that is actually being taking place at different levels and to a greater degree of detail, which may not find expression in the APP as it currently stands. So with your indulgence, Chair, let's deal with it in that manner. I will deal with two broader issues that were raised by members, and I will allow the CEO and the executives to drill deeply in the operational questions. Firstly, the observation made relating to our contingent is well taken. However, I just wanted to add a rider. It was not as if members are not available or we do not appreciate the importance. We had been here at the minister's insistence since Monday because we had to deal with the other engagement. And given the space at which we are currently financially, the issue of cost was one that informed our decision. Other than that, and I'm proud to say the record will reflect that we are one of those boards that have always brought a full strength. And I think that's why I started off by raising a red flag to say, the mea culpa, as Chair, I take responsibility. It's a call that I had to make. It's a further financial call, nothing else. With the issue of reclassification of SIRA's road offences, it is a very important issue. Let me just indicate, Chair, as part of the report that was released by the Minister yesterday, 89.5% is squarely as a result of human behavior. Now, this reclassification of road offenses is an attempt to deal with consequence management. There is this don't care attitude. And this is an attempt, a very noble attempt, to try and deal with that. Might I just refer members to, there was a time when murder was rampant in the country. And all and sundry took the view that something needs to be done without necessarily going back to the hang bar. And out of that chorus of concern, the classification of murder as a special type of offense was then written into our statute books to say murder preconceived is going to be treated as a Schedule 5 or 6 offense. The impact thereof was to deal with the two levels. Firstly, the ease with which those accused of that offense can get bail. The second aspect related to post your being found guilty. The court had to, Parliament had to preordain minimum sentences.
to say, if you are found guilty, having been given all your constitutional rights, basic minimum sentence is 15 years and upwards. And that brought about some significant increase. And we thought, let us learn from that and look at how road traffic offences are perceived. You know, when you apply for any job in government, there's a form and a portion where it says, you disclose your offences. And then it says, other than traffic offences, giving an impression that traffic offences are play offences. You know, the truth of the matter is, it is that mindset that we thought we need to begin to deal with in order to address 89% of your human behavior. Now, the idea there is, ministers and chair has spoken about speeding, drunken scat, and all of those things. It is us as human beings who do these things. But we know the legal framework is such that I can be caught driving at 204 now, 20 minutes later, a police officer above a certain rank at the police station is by law empowered to release me on bail. Right, that's the first thing. Secondly, if people die, I'm now talking post your conviction, having caused someone's death because you were driving a car drunk or in your drunken stupor, there is no prescribed minimum sentence. You can wipe off 11 people at a go, you may go down on culpable homicide and still walk. Now, that is the type of mischief that we are seeking to address by the reclassification. We are saying, if we get it right, if you are arrested on a Thursday having committed this driving offense, you should be kept for 7 days just like any other serious alleged offender. We may get it right, we may not get it right, but it's not our responsibility alone. The same is true if you are found guilty of the same offense. We are saying the legislature must preordain certain minimum sentences, because that would serve as a deterrent or a disincentive, because we all know that we're dealing with human behavior, period. So we have to try and bring about many mechanisms aimed at directing that. Now, that is the philosophy behind the reclassification. How far are we? We are at the penultimate level of engagement, because you have to engage with justice, you have to engage with, we have to engage with the security cluster, you also have to engage with health, insofar as they must come to the party, because when you arrest someone for drunken driving, we are not empowered to draw their blood. Health kicks in. But after having drawn the blood, somebody must analyze the blood and it must make its way back into the system on time. All of that is happening. Once that has happened, we then have to come back to Parliament for the parliamentary processes to kick in. You know how long it takes for legislation to be amended, because we'll have to amend the legislation. What justice required of us, which we have done, was they wanted a business case to say, if we are to do this, show us how it would impact financially and all other resources to build a business case, something that is bankable. That has now happened. Now, all I can say to you is that we are going to be throwing it back on your lap and hoping that you will facilitate the parliamentary processes, but we mustn't fool ourselves into thinking that it is something that is going to happen in the next financial year or even the one beyond. But it is something that we believe, if we are to work on it in earnest, it will go some distance in resolving these issues. The issue related to that is consequence management. You know, when we started saying to you as our oversight body, please support us in our fight against ASIMA, it is something that is very painful to a personal level, because we were maligned, chastised, life-threatened as a result of fighting for this animal. Because everything else that you're talking about, Chair, how long it takes you for you to go and renew your disc or driving license, is precisely based on the ASIMA platform, which was sitting in the hands of third parties. To date, these guys are still relentless. And with the assistance of some in the department, we are spending 60% of our budget on litigation. We are in court twice a month. We have won the Constitutional Court decision, but we are still not handling ASIMA as if it is something that belongs wholly to us. And with ASIMA issues not being resolved, Chair, you will never have ARTO operating optimally. Forget about it. Now, ARTO is dependent on us. If we don't get that, all these other things about smart cards, applying for a driver's license through a bank like Home Affairs is doing, it's talk, we can talk about it here, but the implementation thereof lies in this devil called ASIMA. Why is ASIMA a devil? Let's be frank. It's about money. People who have been running this thing are simply not going to let go. It used to cost you $44 million a month. We're doing it internally at just under $10 million. The biggest fight now is what Tasima did in the battle towards the Constitutional Court. We had to demonstrate to the court that if the functional to come to us today, we will have the wherewithal to run. So we had to go and employ everybody at Tasima to do the function, which we did. The next day, Tasima re-employed or offered to re-employ all of them at double the cost. And we said, go to hell, it's not going to happen. The fight now that is before the court is, those of you who have been working as unionists, you know, when you transfer or you sell a business, you sell it to the staff. Now, Section 197 of the LAIRA, the fight is, we are saying we are not going to take over those people that you re-employed at double the rate, because they were not part of the initial transfer, one, but two, in government, wages follow a particular process. If I am to take someone at twice the rate, what's going to happen to my current staff complement? But that's an issue for the courts. But the point of the matter is, that fight is still there. It is taking resources away from us. I'm saying this because I'm directly trying to answer the question of that was asked by Ubabu Mpanza about cases that are currently on the roll. But that is the philosophy around Tasima and what it means for the RTMC. Even Artia will come and present, and you'll ask them, what is your state of readiness to roll out? Apart from parliamentary processes, they need my platform to be able to do so. You know, yesterday when we were announcing the steps with the minister, and I can say it with an open face and show you court papers, Mr. Dembowski and others launched another application against the Department of Transport, the Minister, the RTMC, Artia, because we are fighting about the money that they believe should be going to them as a result of infringements. Now, when we go back to Johannesburg, we're going to spend another couple of millions fighting. Because if you don't fight and they win, you are setting a precedent that this country can ill afford. That you can verify independently. But the point of the matter is, when we think we win in this particular legal battle, others keep coming. There is an Arrive Alive campaign that we fought for. It's now back home. We could not use the Arrive Alive campaign for many, many years. Somebody thought they had registered it. They wanted money to be paid. We had to spend our resources to fight for it. Coming back to the issue of the public protector, I'm glad, member, you asked that question, because the same question was asked by the minister in our engagement and by the shareholders. Minister, there are three public protector investigations that we are aware of. The first one happened before our time. Akompanza may know or may not know about it. And then we wrote ourselves to the public protector to say, please confirm, because we're reading about this in the media. Is there an investigation so that we can give you support? The public protector acknowledged, and we undertook to provide support. Nothing came of it. This is the previous public protector. The second issue, the second one, was lodged over a year and a half ago. We complied fully and provided the information as required of us. As at last week, we wrote to the public to say, is there anything else that you need to enable you to finalize your investigation? It has to do, because you must play open courts with the committee, it has to do with either disgruntled employees or those that have been fired or those that are undergoing disciplinary inquiries. The other one was as a result of an unsuccessful bid in respect of a tender who has taken issue with the process. So there is anything, there is nothing over and above that is shattering that we are perhaps maybe not disclosing to yourselves. It is an investigation that happens in the normal course. And the last one, members, is also a complaint by a group of three senior officials who post the disciplinary processes have now been fired from the corporation. Two of them went to the labor court and lost. But that investigation is an investigation that is currently live. 2 weeks ago, the public protector, the new one, asked for information that we had previously supplied. We supplied it again, and I directed secretariat to go to the public protector's office with files so that they can sign for every single document that has been provided. Not only that, she then went to the public protector's office with the official senior executives who may shed light on the issues raised in the complaint. That was done 2 weeks ago. We have not heard anything other than the public protector investigator calling me personally to congratulate us for having, you know, come forward with the information. What the outcome thereof would be, we do not know, but obviously we are under an obligation to assist and comply. What are the financial implications? There are no financial implications for us. We are the subject matter of an investigation. If anything, it is the financial implications would be at the hands of the public protector's office until and unless she finds that there's maladministration and there are some financial consequences. And I thought it is important that we should deal with that. The manner in which the question was phrased, it mimics exactly how the minister asked the question, and I thought, let me deal with it on that basis. And lastly, the engagement with the shareholders. Mapswande asked, how do we engage with the shareholders, especially municipalities? The APP that we are presenting before you is a product of engagement with themselves also. And before I sign it and formally put it to the principal, it must have had the buy-in of all your municipalities, all the relevant provincial departments, and specific departments in law enforcement that is relevant to our process. And once that has happened and members have inputted, we then present it to the department. Why to the department first before it goes to the minister? It is to ensure that synchronization, to make sure that the APP that we are preparing is in sync with that of the department. The department came yesterday, and I can almost assure you that in very material respects, there is a dovetail, because if the department picks up on a divergence, it comes back to us to rectify before it goes to the minister. So the final engagement to make sure that we have crossed all the T's happened last week Wednesday, where the minister now called all entities individually to talk to their specific APPs in line with the APP of the department. Mm-hmm. And another administrative process that happens, and I know because I champion it, there is also a meeting, a strategic planning session that is held at the instance of the department with all entities, where we present our individual APPs and to make sure that all our APPs are in sync with our sister entities. In our case, we must talk to the sister entities that are relevant to us. There's 11 of them, but not all of them are relevant to us. It is RTA and the RAF in particular, and CBRCA. And that process has happened. And I thought at broad governance level, I needed to respond to that, because the shareholder compact that I signed on behalf of the board, I get measured on exactly that. It is an issue that I thought, let me, on behalf of the board, deal with. But operational issues, I'm sure my foot soldiers are here and they can deal with them adequately. Thank you, Chair, for the indulgence.
Advocate, sit. Okay. Thank you very much. I will deal with the question on the alcohol study. What we have found and acknowledged as the road sector is that over the years there has been dwindling alcohol research. Now what you find is scraps of data sitting in all sorts of places and research that is quite outdated given that the environment has changed. So what we have put into our APP going forward and have prioritized it to continue to do research. The issue of alcohol, how are we going to use this research once we have produced it? Firstly, we are going to understand the extent of the problem so that it is authoritative data that we can speak of. Secondly, is that we are then able to influence policy. so that if you are going to set new laws and regulations, they are informed by research. Thirdly, is that we also want our problems and our investments to go together. We must put the resources where they will have the most impact. So this research will also direct us in driving where do we invest as the road transport sector. Thirdly, and also, well, fourthly, also very importantly, is that we develop educational material. And this educational material has got to have a level of research, whether it is that you are doing an activation in a community, you must take appropriate information to the community based on research, or whether it is that you are in the classroom educating traffic officers and designing their curriculum, you need adequate research to do that. So there is certainly a lot of reasons why we need to do this research. So I think that is the question in relation to specifically the alcohol study. This other question that came up, which I should perhaps speak to, is how smart are our KPIs? The chair has already touched on the process that we go through to ensure the quality and the verification on the formulation of our KPIs. But we are also guided by the AG's opinion on the quality of our KPIs. In the last 3 years, on the performance information which they have audited, they have given us a clean performance information report. This is to say that our KPIs are indeed in compliance with the SMART principles. And perhaps just to say that we've taken a lot of lessons from the past. Where we used to struggle in prior years with issues of KPIs was the span of control issues. And the way we've designed, even if you look in the detail of our ATP, approval processes and so on, is to ensure that we have covered the entire spectrum of the span of control. On the non-achievement of our KPIs, it certainly had to do with things that changed in the middle of the year, where the RTMC then had to revise its strategies mid-year, and therefore were not able to achieve some of these KPIs. It also had to do with the training of with it's the cooperation between the various departments that we needed to cooperate with on certain KPIs.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take the rest. One of the issues that Mbanzai asked in terms of the research, justice requires us to give them the research which we are currently doing on the alcohol consumption, because it's one of the issues that we want them to classify over and above what Chair has said in terms of the case study. They've now come back and said, now give us the research so that we see what are we talking about in order before we go to the consultation processes with all the stakeholders. That's one issue. I think that law enforcement has been dealt in terms of the revenue as well as the 14% that we did. The target on the occurrences such as speeding, whatever, in slide 28 we're giving this, those we called strategic, it's intelligence-led strategic interventions. In it, it includes both speeding, reckless, and negligent driving. It's just the terminology that we have used. It's in the slide, in slide 28, as well as slide 20. We'll also deal with the educational programs, particularly the community-based road safety structures, which are then cascaded from the level of the municipality to the district and the province and national. Currently, we have a national road safety structure that is dealing with road safety, both the youth structure as well as the national structure. We're busy now establishing the provincial structures in the four provinces that we have now dealt with it, which is Northwest, Mpumalanga, Free State, KZN. We are now going to roll out, Western Cape is going to deal with this. Eastern Cape, we could not report, it has started post the month. We now have an Eastern Cape is the better option in terms of the road safety that we're dealing with. They even give stipends in relation to those community saved structures that are in there. But also extending it to the traditional leadership
because we have also realized that most of the rural areas have been affected. We now roll those structures also to the also traditional leadership issues. What are we doing in the issue of countenancing the issue of this high number of diseases, the number of interventions that we're dealing with, which we have condensed them in terms of these matters? The issue of the upskilling, we're not only upskilling the new coming, the curriculum for the new coming intake that Refilo has spoken to about the 1,000, which we have not, and that's where we did not achieve. This intake of the 1,000 should have happened in the year 2014-2015. But because of the facility, we couldn't. We have gone out on tender on two occasions. The tender had to be cancelled for us to acquire a facility that can accommodate the 1,000 people. It's only the municipality in... what is this municipality that has come on board? Northwest in Klerksdorp. That has acquired a mining facility. They've now come back and said, let's partner with you because it can accommodate 3,000. So we're working with them. How is the 1,000 that will also deal with Ubabu Sibande? How was the 1,000 going to be recruited? What the shareholder had taken the decision was, a principal decision is, on the 1,000, 900 must represent each and every province. So you're going to recruit 100 per province, but the provinces, that has more in relation to the fatalities, but you can't deal with it in the fatalities, because if you take Gauteng, you're sitting with Gauteng, Tshwane, JMPD, and Ekurhuleni. You have more than what is necessary, but you then look into other provinces that needs more to deal with it. That's how the spares is going to be dispersed in terms of the 1,000 that has been dealt with. How do we get the people into the habit of complying? We have dealt with the issue on three-pronged approach. One is to then deal with the partnership with education, where you then realize even in the APP, education, we will be rolling, the first minister will be launching it during July and June, the Mandela Day as well as the celebration of O.R. Tambo, where we have partnered with the institutions like TETA. There we are dealing with the simulators, where kids are now going to be trained on simulators, how to drive at the tender age from the grade 4 up to grade 11, so that getting a driver's license becomes an easy matter. We have now partnered with those, and a number of institutions are now coming to partner with us, particularly for the TVETs, because the strategy is to ensure that at the TVET level, we need to have these simulators so that kids then, because the kids that come from the rural areas who might not have the luxury, parents have not the luxury of having the vehicles, how do we then begin to intervene at that level? That's one level. But two, for the first time now, the curriculum of education will now have road safety as a curriculum and an examinable subject from grade R to grade 12. Education, we have partnered with the Department of Education. At the end of March, they completed dealing with the curriculum. We contributed 30 million. So starting from next year, of January, our kids will have the privilege of now being taught on the road safety. Correctly so, as we are saying, Chairperson, that at the tender age, you used to be taught left, right, left, and cross. Those are now dealt with it so that it's inculcated in the life of the kids. But the third one, it's targeted at the institutions of higher learning, where we have now road safety, hence the youth structure begins to deal with the higher institutions of learning. We also then deal with the issues of communities, particularly your taverns and other related stakeholders that we deal with. If you take a model, particularly let me take the Eastern Cape and take the model in Mpumalanga. In Mpumalanga, it focuses on car washes as well as the taverns. In Eastern Cape, they deal with the rural areas led by the chiefs, because most of the fatalities that we have are, of course, related to stray animals. So we then also have the small farmers that we then begin to educate on these matters. That is one on these issues. Chair, you have dealt with the public protector. The Buggenhout College, Bougainvillehood College currently were training 248 students. Those students are Northwest students. It's Northwest and Gauteng currently that are training for them. 148 it's Gauteng, 100 it's for Northwest. They recruit them, we train them for them in this curriculum for a year. Those, the pass out of those students that are currently in our training is going to be in December. We're passing them out, and then there's a last intake because the NQF level 4 has its last intake in January 2019, post-January 2019. Any traffic officer that goes to the college is going to be trained for 3 years full-time. So that's the issue that we deal with. The issue of gender and disability, we partner with the DPSA of South Africa, where we then deal with these programs in relation to the road safety with the people that are, of course, in terms of their disability at the level. We even partnered with them to an extent that the corporation has spent money in the 5 provinces. We even had to buy them vehicles, the disability vehicles, to do the outreach programs in their communities where they stay. Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Free State, and Eastern Cape were now left to roll it out to the remaining provinces where the people with disability themselves are taking this up. But in terms of the internal process, how do we deal in order to see, if you look at our APP, you will realize that we are not achieving the target of the 2% in terms of the people with disability. We have now gone to those institutions to source their skills. So some of the adverts that are, that are now going to come out are going to depict that this is specifically or recommended for people with disabilities, because we need to have the threshold as a constitution. Municipalities here, you have dealt with SMART, you have dealt with, but in terms of the coordination between the municipalities and provinces, above that the chairperson has had, we have the National Road Safety Steering Committee. In the National Road Safety Steering Committee, you sit with municipalities, you sit with metros, and you sit with the provinces and the national, including SAPS, as well as Home Affairs and whatever. So that coordination begins to happen at that particular level to ensure that our APP is more compliant and all this. It also deals with the other forums of interaction. Involvement of communities have then dealt with the community-based structures that are dealing with it. Are resources allocated appropriately? Yes, Chair, we have, but resources will never be sufficient. They will always be sparing, but we'll then do the best out of what we have. Do we have sufficient staff and machinery to deal with this matter? Our history, Chair, tells us that we are still going to be having these challenges in terms of the human resource. Let's begin to define what we had. When we got into 2014, we inherited a structure that is defunct. How, what it happened, so that we conceptualize, and even when we deal with the public protector issues, what used to be done in the RTMC, particularly in finance, human capital, and IT, they used to recruit interns and leave the gap in terms of the management, and interns made to take decisions that include about 5 million or 10 million, a child that has been trained. But then the gap at the top, at the above level, you have staff that has been employed who come in as a contract. For instance, there are people that Chair refers to who are appointed as deputy CFO, a post that does not exist, but that person comes in to relieve the CEO if the CEO has gone on maternity, then that post is converted into a permanent post. And when the, also the other issues, the issue that relate to the 2013, when the shareholder, the then Minister Ben Martins and the shareholder, took a decision in 2013 February to close down the corporation. The corporation employed people and gave them 5 years in permanent employment, when there is a resolution that says close down this corporation. The same as the issue of the law enforcement. So we're beginning to inculcate a new culture. It was not surprising for us during the Easter when some of the traffic officers refused to sleep in a hotel where they were supposed to share. They opted to sleep upside, but very strange. BLA was there to issue a statement 2 hours later. How it was management, because we're dealing with some of the people. One of those people that is there is the leader of the coordinator of BLA in KZN. So that's, you still have that within the fraternity that you need to clean up. So that situation will forever be haunting us. But we are, it's a challenge that we are equal to, and that will then reflect the expenditure in terms of the legal fees in 2016-17 on the cases that are referring to the Tasima and the rest, we spent 10.4 million. 2015-16, we spent 14 million. You'll then see that the amount started low, but it increased because there were a number of cut challenges that we're dealing with. But what did it happen in labor? Internal in labor, we spent 9 million in the 2015-16, but the 2016-17, we spent 16 million. Why? Because we have forever been taken to the labor court and we win them. And the last one, we just arrived from the court on Tuesday. Monday. Monday, it was a holiday. Yes. Tuesday, we served with an agent application by the same people saying that the corporation must not employ traffic officers. It must take a junior traffic officer and become a chief of the traffic officers. They lost. So this is the situation that you're dealing with in this particular program. But you will then understand how they were recruited into the institution. The issue of the single traffic law enforcement, the traffic law enforcement review committee is due to complete its job in June, which will then deal with the issue one of the single law traffic law enforcement, that will deal with the issue of the uniforms, that will deal with the car coding, that will deal with the standard operating procedures throughout the court. We followed the process that was followed by the defense in terms of the defense review committee. That process will then go to cabinet. Cabinet then adopts. Then it therefore gets back to a single law enforcement as per the details of the 2007 resolution. It has been a long road that meandered, but we go in there. The non-achievement, we have dealt with it. What were key non-achievement? We promised the committee that we indeed will improve. Perhaps our target was that in the coming this year that we have closed, perhaps if we can get closer to 90%, we'll be closer to 100%, because you are a machinery that's beginning to be transformed while the car is moving. So you take an engine, overhaul the engine, but expect the car to be moving. That's what we are in the institution. Chairperson, we have taken note of the issues that we have dealt with, but the key question, I thought that the Khabisa will deal with it. The DLCA, the shareholder has decided that it must now move to the RTMC. It's with the department, and I think we are going to be implementing that issue because it's one of the functions that must go in there. But let's then deal, because, Chair, you have raised the fundamental issue. I think on Monday, KZN has been on our case. When you go and renew a driver's license, you spend not less than an hour or two at the station. And everybody says it's innate. It's not true. It's because the systems are not talking. We're managing the platform of the e-natives. The DLCA, which is in the department, has brought an instrument that deals with the eye testing. It's a German instrument that is not compatible with the system. So if you put your head, the forehead, on as they test your eyes, if it can move a bit, it dies. So it must wait for another 5 minutes before it restarts. That's the issue that is in there. So we are now beginning to integrate that. It has nothing to do with the e-natives. It's a system that deals with the DLCA. The sooner we integrate those systems, the better, because they can't integrate, and outsider can't integrate that system into us. We can only integrate our system with Home Affairs. That takes us to a smart card. That's why we can't even deal with a smart card until that process has been taken to us, so that there's synergy in government, because the smart card, we have seen the driver, the ID, it has worked functionally, it has all the features that government wants. We then talked with Home Affairs to say, by the time that function comes to us, let's have the same and similar integrated system with Home Affairs in dealing with that matter. As to the other issues of the traffic renewal licenses, we are finalizing a tender with the banks, because that's the platform that we now did, where you can now go and renew your driver's license at the bank without having to go to queue, because we appreciate that time is money. Just for interest sake, in terms of our expenditure, if you look in terms of our expenditure, the Section 197 that the Chair talked about cost us an additional 33 million, having taken those people over. But it's also interesting to know that we pay SAPO, South African Post Offices, 42 million a month. We're also going going through a process where we're talking to the network facilitators where you can only get an SMS as opposed to us getting this, and we believe that would reduce this amount very drastically. And we pay Telkom 38 million per month. That's a necessity. We can't move away from Telkom. But however, our relationship has never been without problems. We just won an application again against them on Monday, because at some point Telkom had cut the line. The committee will recall when we appeared here, there was an outcry that the E-Netis is not working. Telkom had cut the line. We won the judgment. It's a good judgment, a very good judgment, where Telkom was reckless over the knuckle, and they will never ever cut the services to government, particularly if it's of public interest. So it's a good judgment that we have come with it, which is going to be good for generations to come. I think I've taken on the pedestrians. I've also dealt with it in terms of the pedestrians' education, in terms of the community-based structures. The focus, particularly, it's pedestrians and how we deal with the other people. But in closing, one of the key problems is that in the past, if you were a pedestrian jaywalking or crossing where you are not supposed to, we were issued a ticket. But today, once they issue that ticket, somebody just tears the ticket and put it aside, because courts regard these tickets as minor offenses. We're now talking with the Department of Justice to re-inculcate that issue, because it's one of the deterrents when a person who's crossing where he's not supposed to can be issued with a fine. I thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair. Just one concluding remark from us, and then we'll hand over to you. I'm just going to ask that we circulate the actual ISTA report to the members for your reading, because the detail is quite extensive. It touches with a lot of empirical data that may also inform you to see how we come to certain decisions. Mm-hmm. It is more detailed. I know the minister, you know, issued it yesterday, but I think not necessarily to be read with the APPs, but I think you will begin to see some of the things that inform the work that you do. And lastly, we must also bear in mind that we have a very unique situation. This year, again, from the 26th, we're going to have another long, long weekend. Mm. And it is very important for all of us to bear that in mind, because we've suggested to the minister, and he agreed, that let us also see lessons learned from this long period and anticipate what may happen over the other long, long weekend, and then come out to the public and say, this is how we fared in relation to this period. Ordinarily, for Easter, Honorable Singh, you normally account for the Easter long weekend, which is 4 days. But in this time around, the curriculum or the calendar of the schools was such that it extended the Easter break. So we had to give account not only for the 4 days, but we accounted for 9 days. That's why it got a bit clapped. Now, coming forward, you're going to account for another 5 or 6 days. You know, so we need to take that into account. But this is just by way of information. We'll make this available, and members must just read it and see what other suggestions, as a living document, we could also learn as a collective from these experiences. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Nsibi, the chairperson of the board and other members of the board, thank you very much. So if we want to return to sender, will the street address still be Constitutional Court? it's a sad day, yay, that your street address is a Constitutional Court. But like you're putting it, we also need to start talking to this thing. It cannot be your own or the minister's challenge only. We start to talk so that South Africans can be able to understand the challenges that you are going through. Thank you very much for the presentation. We are of the view that we are up to the task as South Africans, and like you have indicated that there are other SADC countries which want to cooperate with yourself. We take pride in that, and sometimes we will never appreciate the magnitude of the challenge and the good things that other people are seeing. But we believe that this is the beginning of the good things that will be coming, because indeed, I remember when I arrived here in Parliament, I was also of the opinion that RTMC must close shop. But now, I really appreciate RTMC for what it is. Yeah, we have to be honest, because when you see an institution and you believe that this one will not, it's not value for money, we start to say, but South Africans, what is it that they are benefiting? We are happy because the president has also indicated that you cannot have an institution which actually is just a money sucker, but there is no value for that money that it is sucking. We start to appreciate, I mean, if you've got a curriculum which goes from basic education and going into higher education, going into the communities, we can't ask for more. It shows that for the past 4 years, there has been massive work that has been done, but you need to do more and more research so that it can be able to sharpen your implementation. It can also assist to sharpen how the communities are looking at road safety issues, because it looks like road safety is the government's program and not our community, not me as a community member's issue. Road safety is everybody's issue. Thank you very much. We will be taking Artia. It will be after lunch. Honorable members, can we take a 30 minutes lunch break and back at 2 o'clock? Sure. Okay.